Good afternoon, gardeners. You're listening to Garden Planet with Selena and
Karen. Okay, guys. We were supposed to talk about seed saving in the last session, but we got carried away, so it's going to happen in this session. Yeah. Sorry about that. So let's get started so it actually gets done this time, because the reason why I'm being a bit impatient about that because now is the
now
time.
Now is the time. Oh, and also I'm going to be talking about division and cuttings if there's time.
Yeah.
Because it's all about propagation this episode.
Yeah, that's right. Getting things sorted and started mm-hmm. and stored.
Great.
And cut and ready. Not so much growing at this stage. Oh, hang on, that doesn't make sense. Propagation is the beginning of growing. What am I talking about? But this is before the real growing starts, okay. What I'm saying.
Yeah.
So it's all about preparation, really. So no plan of the week this week. We'll just, talking business. So why do you want to save your seeds?
To grow more plants.
Pretty much, yeah. But you could just go and buy some seeds somewhere.
You can.
So why go the trouble?
For free. You don't need to buy your
correct.
Seeds.
Saving your own, that's one reason. Well done. You got one out of four.
Yay.
25%. Saving your own seed allows you to preserve a plant variety that is adapted to the conditions of your own backyard.
Mm.
When you discover a variety that performs well, it makes perfect sense to grow it again, right?
Yeah.
So here are the four reasons to save your seeds. One, cost. Well done. You don't need to spend money on them.
I'm a cheapskate.
Two, well, seeds are pricey, though, to be fair.
They can be expensive.
Yeah. Two, performance. The plants are strong and more disease tolerant. Three, true. The plants are true to type, so you know precisely what you are putting in the ground. The hybrid seeds that you purchase in many stores will not grow true to type. So you can take the seeds, but don't be sure that you're going to get what you
they
saw.
They might surprise you next season.
Yep. And four, quality. Many plant varieties available from seed companies are bred to look good and transport and store well.
Mm.
Often taste and nutrition have been sacrificed for vigour and uniform appearance.
Yes.
So
they might grow well, but they taste not good or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, So let's... I wanted to give you guys a few tips on how to correctly collect your seeds. So collect seeds during mid-harvest season when fruit is at its ripest and seeds are biggest.
Mm-hmm.
To avoid potential seed being picked for consumption, so in other words, you picking the fruit and eating it along with your seeds.
Okay.
Which, yeah.
You spit them out?
Well, you could, yeah. But it is recommended to put muslin cloth, is that how I say it?
Yeah, muslin.
Muslin cloth on before the first flowers open. Doing so will also help remind you to keep checking on it, because flowering and seed development can take some time. With practice, you will get more proficient at determining the ultimate ripeness.
Ah, okay. Good
so
tip.
It's just a way of like keeping
marking it. Yeah.
Mm. Good way of doing it. Only grow one variety. This is one I forgot about. Grow one variety of each vegetable per season if you intend to save the seed, mm-hmm. because quite a number of vegetables will interbreed.
Okay.
So just do the one variety.
Just one at a time. Yeah.
Biennials produce seed every second season. For example, carrots, onions, parsnips, beets. So these vegetables can be left to grow in a second season purely for the purpose of seed production.
Mm-hmm.
If your winters are very wet and cold, instead hang, say, the onions. Can you hang carrots? Not sure about that. Hang onions in a dry place. Oh, sorry. I just answered my own question. With the carrots and parsnips and beets, leave them on damp sand.
Oh, okay.
Then replant the following spring and await their flowering season for seed collection. So, yeah, that'll probably be the good best way to do you not you because then you get another season of vegetables.
Yeah.
And you get the seeds.
And you get the seeds as well.
Yeah. If the seeds you're collecting are within a soft fruit flesh, like, say, your tomatoes, they will need to be washed off before drying. Sometimes, like cucumber and tomatoes, the flesh needs to be fermented off, which is achieved by leaving in water for about 2 weeks. But you'll need to change the water quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want the water getting all yucky.
Okay.
So, yeah, time to quit the job. So you got to. it does take a bit of time, but you know, I think it's worth it. We're just
I thought you would put it in a sieve, and then all the gooey stuff would fall to the bottom or something. No.
Yeah, but then you've still got that.
Oh,
but
okay.
It's like stuck to the seed.
Tried saving tomato seeds.
I wonder what would happen if you did that. I don't know. Maybe you could just play around and try it. And then you've still got that stuff, like a little bit of flesh stuck to the seed. Would that affect the growth or?
Not sure.
It might just dry and flake off.
My tomatoes are just sort of leave and then they rot in the ground and they spring up from the rotting.
Yeah, they do fruit. Indeed. They would be, when they self-seed like that, they would be naturally fermenting in the ground.
Oh, true.
Wouldn't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know what? This is just what I got from Judy. In one of her seed saving workshops. She's a bit of a guru. So I'm just going by that. But, you know, gardening, it's all about trying, playing around with things. And So why not? Small seeds will need to be threshed out and winnowed in order to remove chaff.
That's the fun part.
Yeah. So that's just the winnowing.
Get a fan or...
She used a big flat sort of dish with like shallow sides around the outside and just sort of
shook it
lightly and then somehow managed to. There's a knack to it. But again, practice. To kill any lingering unwanted insects, it is recommended to freeze the seeds for a couple of days. So that's that.
Yeah.
Seed storing, so once you've got them, begin by storing your seeds in a paper bag and then transfer to a sealed container. Where do you get paper bags from these days?
Bookshop, you have to buy a book as well.
Maybe you could just make one.
Yeah, out of newspaper.
Where do you get newspaper
or
from these days?
Buy some bread. Give you a paper bag with that.
I reckon you could go to this place in West Auckland called Pete's Packaging. Little plug there for them.
Okay.
They've got a lot of bags and containers and plastics and I'm pretty sure they've got biodegradable plates. So you got
okay.
I would check out them and maybe just get like 100-pack or something to last you for life.
Or maybe envelopes if you're
using envelopes. Yes, of course. Yeah. They need to be stored in a cool, dry and dark place. And interestingly, reason being, for every 1% increase in humidity, a seed can lose half its storage life. It's crazy, huh?
Oh, so, okay. They need a dry place.
Yeah.
So in Auckland, we're not very good at drying.
Auckland's very humid. Where would you put it in your house? But here we go. Don't fret too much, okay? Because you can store them in the freezer, which will also kill the bugs.
Oh, true. You said that, but
Yeah, I didn't know. I forgot about. I obviously didn't read all Judy's notes carefully. I'm glad I kept them. A freezer apparently is ideal. The key to success when freezing seeds is storing dry seeds in an airtight container, though.
Okay. Yeah. So maybe a plastic container?
Yeah, for those ones. And if you do so, they will remain viable for about 2 years. Depends on the seed. Some a bit longer, some
now
not so much.
Now I think about it, there is a massive global seed vault in Norway, somewhere way up in the, you know, cold area, where I think it's underground, actually.
Yeah.
and they store like all the seeds from all over the world.
Cool.
For future, you know, in case there's like a big crisis and we need some seed.
Yeah. Well,
and it's
I mean,
massive. Yeah. So in a cool place, yeah.
That's right. For the next sort of major flood, perhaps, or I'm watching this...
Ultra-demic pandemic.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm watching this show on Netflix about when the Earth freezes over, like so much so, because we tried to cool it down by some form of technology in the sky and ended up like completely freezing the planet to minus 100.
A bit too far.
So they created this... train that goes around the planet. It's perpetual motion, so it just never stops, and that's what's driving the whole thing. And they've got whole, it's a 1,000 carriage train, that's the whole civilization that's left on there. And I thought when you mentioned the seed bank, they probably grabbed whatever they could.
Yes.
And they've got everything just growing on this. They've got like stock and everything in this train. It's quite an interesting concept though. Anything could happen, I honestly. Yeah.
Seeds are so precious.
Oh my goodness, yeah. And then of course you've got parts of this train that the wealthier part and then the not, you know. So it was like bargaining with fresh produce was like a huge deal.
Okay.
You could like get all sorts of benefits if you were able to give someone a fresh apple, you know.
Yes.
So that's important. It's important to be able to grow things, especially good things.
Mm.
So keep those good seeds, guys.
Yeah.
That's about all I've got, unless you had anything more to add to that.
No, I think, yeah, you've covered a lot, but good tips in there, Karen.
Yeah, so enjoy the satisfaction that comes from growing from your own seed and start collecting today.
Oh,
I say.
One thing I might add is make sure you label everything.
Oh, did I not mention that? Probably. I'm sure I wrote it down somewhere. It was definitely yes. Make sure you label all your stuff, data. Yeah, otherwise you're going to be
this?
Like...
You might want to be
what
surprised.
What is this? I'll just put it in the ground and we'll see what happens.
one thing, because I'm a librarian, you know there are seed libraries.
Yes.
That you can...
In New Zealand, not just Norway.
Yeah,
yeah.
And swap your seeds and not borrow them, but it's all catalogued, like, you know, every seed is catalogued, like a librarian would organise their books, or in jars, you know.
Yeah.
So, make a seed library and you can swap with your friends.
I think there's, like, a big one in Napier somewhere, I believe, and you can place your order...
Yes.
And they'll, you know, post you out, whatever.
Yeah. So you give them some seeds and then they'll send you a whole lot of different seeds back. I think it's through the post or something.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I've got to try getting into that because I'd be interested. I've got lots of swan plant seeds.
Yep. I think I've got some of those.
Maybe everyone's already got them, but I will swap them for something else.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure, man.
Mm.
Yeah. All right then, so I guess we will go on to what you were going to discuss today, which is propagation.
Divisions and cuttings.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, so maybe you don't are going on the whole way with seeds, but there is another way to get more plants, and that would be division or cuttings. I'll start with... division first, so that's a really easy thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Most plants, like perennial type plants that grow in clumps, and then they multiply by putting more plants out, you can just easily divide them up and there'll be an entire new plant and plant it somewhere else. So really easy. Most plants, like, I don't know, lilies and just the clumping type.
So you reckon I'd be able to do that with last week's plant of the week, valerian, because that was a perennial?
Yep, could do, yeah.
Okay, I'll have a look for you.
Yeah, a lot of perennials.
I think it could do with thinning out
easily
a bit. It's a good way to thin out your plants
divided.
Too.
Yeah, if you're getting too crowded, then it's a good time to divide them up and you can give them away or plant them somewhere else. Just give them a bit of space.
Mm-hmm. Put them in a community area where people can help themselves.
Yep. So I would use a fork to divide up the big ones. Good thing is to have two forks and just get the roots and then sort of split them up.
Yeah. You know what I use?
No.
A bread knife.
Oh, yes, you can use a bread knife, but,
each to their own.
Whatever it takes to divide them out, but I think I, tend to use,
You're probably a bit more civilised with your...
another tip is, the perennials, usually you can cut them down to their lowest growth this time of year because they've finished doing their flowering and all their things. And then they will regrow in the spring.
Being autumn, is that why we're discussing this particular topic now, Selena?
Yes. So plants that grow flax grows really tall.
Mm.
And flax does clump, so that's a good example. And so you can divide the flax up.
Would you cut it down first?
So you can cut it to a short fan so it doesn't need all those long leaves because it's going to, go into winter and be a little bit dormant.
And they get a bit droopy anyway when you hack away.
And you want to cut away the old growth anyway so that the fresh new growth can come through. So you can cut it right down and leave the growing tip, but you can cut it down and then fresh growth will come when you replant it.
Okay.
So make a little fan shape and divide them and then plant them somewhere else. I'm sure that people probably are a bit tired of flax, but it's such a
What about if you
good
wanted
plant
to
divide up?
What if you wanted to say give your cutting to a friend, could you just wrap it up and say handy towel, keep it damp.
Yeah,
I usually do this and then put a bit of tin foil around it to stop it getting all over the car.
Yeah,
that's all right.
Yeah, that's fine. As long
or put it in a pot.
You could repot it. Pot it up if you have lots of potting mix and pots handy. Mm-hmm. And give it as a gift.
Okay.
But most gardeners usually will divide up and say, does anyone want extra plants?
Yeah.
Come get them. And then they'd plant them.
Just chuck them straight in.
So, So choose your healthy plants to divide up and get a good root on them so that they have enough to grow on.
Say if you've got heaps of cuttings that have come away from it, would you recommend maybe planting like a clump together if you've got like loads? Do they do well together?
So maybe have three in a sort of trio, but don't plant them too close together because they're going to get...
Then it's just going to create a huge mess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
which is what you've just...
Yeah.
So cut back.
Well, these perennial type plants, it's ideal for them to be divided up. It's healthier for the plant to be regularly divided up anyway.
Yeah.
And then you just get more and more.
Mm.
But we're going to go on to cuttings, which is a little bit different from division.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit more to it than just dividing up your plants.
All right.
And so cuttings, you'd usually do them for like shrubs, or woody type shrubs or semi-woody shrubs. Like, say, lavender or...
sage.
Yeah. Or a botolon or, like, hydrangeas and, that kind of... Even that's getting into a woody.
So you're not going near the root?
No. So what you do with cuttings is you're taking, like, a pruning off the main stem.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only usually about, 10 centimetres long.
Okay.
And you're taking, you're cutting the twig or the stem, a non-flowering one.
All right.
Yeah. And then you're just putting it in some soil, like a sandy soil, and waiting for that to grow roots, and I'll make an entire new plant.
And you can use rooting hormones like willow bark or something like that to help with that process if you wanted to, but it's not a must-have, but it does help.
Yeah, it does help.
Okay.
So I'll go through a step-by-step how you do it.
Okay.
Okay, so...
get your pens out.
Yeah. Okay, so to take cuttings, so number one, you'd choose a healthy stem, like make sure it's got plump.
Flowering.
That's not flowering. And cut a bit longer than you need, because you can always cut shorter to make it shorter.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that it looks healthy. It's not all diseased or dying or anything. It's growing, basically.
Yeah. It's alive.
It's alive.
We do not want to plant
a dead
stick
in
the ground. Although, guilty. Oh, pretty sure I've done that before.
Oh, why is it not growing?
Yeah.
Anyway.
I thought it was going to recover.
Okay. So you're taking these from... a lot of these shrubs don't have like a big main stem, but just take one of the side shoots and, So number two, first you'd strip off the leaves, the lower leaves, but leave some on so that it can photosynthesize.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're like big, huge leaves, you can cut those leaves in half, because you want the cutting to put roots down.
Oh, right.
So all the energy would go downwards. So it's not so much the leaves. Just leave a few on so that it can, get energy.
Yes.
Okay. Number three, okay, make sure you use a sharp knife or a secateurs and cut just below a leaf node.
Yes.
Do you understand what a leaf node is?
Where the leaf attaches to the stem?
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh!
Yes. So just below it, because that's where the, what they call it, auxin, or the cells that will reproduce are
All right.
Yeah. So just at that area, that's where they are. The growth happens. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So you've got your node. Do you have to rip that off so you can plonk it in the ground?
Take the leaves off that node.
Okay.
But cut just below it.
Okay.
So it doesn't. I don't think it matters so much how. Like the slant of the cut, but make sure that it's a clean cut, because don't just rip off stems, because
they've got a better chance of putting out roots if it's a nice clean flat.
Number four. Okay, use a well drained mix if you're doing them in like pots.
Mm.
So a potting mix that's not all gluggy, or line it. If you're doing them in ground, line it with sand. So it just have a lot of drainage.
Okay.
Because the roots want to seek water. And if they're like, you don't want to drown them, but you want them to send roots down seeking water.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I'm kind of like, when I'm trying to grow something new, I personally have a tendency to want to like, not drown it.
Yeah.
Well, I probably am actually in effect doing that. But just want to keep it wet, thinking, it's going to help it.
No.
But it's actually in effect. It's not.
No, this is more like for your woody type cuttings.
Yeah.
I know you can do cuttings where you put it in water and it'll grow roots. But for a lot of things, you just want it kind of in a sandy type, call it a substrate or a medium, so that it will force it to sit. Put out roots because it wants to find that water.
Interesting.
Yeah. So some of them even like will take roots in sand because they're looking for that water. Just make sure you water the sand.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, plants have done it on their own for how long and managed it.
Yeah. Okay. Number five, you could use a dibber to make the hole first before you put the cutting in, just so it doesn't damage the bottom of the cutting.
Oh, yeah.
So a dibber is basically a stick or a pencil to make the hole in. You can use a pen or a pencil or whatever
anything.
It is.
Just create space for it so it doesn't, because, I mean, imagine you think about it, it would be a bit tender. Imagine if you cut off your finger or your arm or something.
Okay.
You're like, ow.
And here is where you might want to dip the end in some willow bark or honey is often used just to help it along to, what they call it. rooting powder or to help it take root. I don't, but some people do. Like if they're doing tons and tons.
You don't do that.
No. I haven't tried it, but basically,
I've tried it and I don't.
Cuttings need to be done at the right time, which is you have more chance of them taking root than putting them in rooting powder.
So it's okay. So now's the right time
now
when
is
they've
the
finished
right
fruiting.
Time. Yeah, when they finish flowering, fruiting, and they're going into their sort of semi-dormant period,
okay. And
that's when they want them to put their roots out.
Right.
Okay. And finally, number six, just space your cuttings out so that their foliage isn't all touching each other.
Okay.
And then you'll, so they're not all crowded, but they've got room. And then when they have started rooting, you'll see, because there'll be some new growth maybe coming out, and if you give them a slight tug, they won't come out. And then by the
time
of spring coming round, you might have a new plant to plant somewhere else or, you know.
And the cycle continues. Oh, radical.
I reached down the end of my list, but actually there's a little bit more. Sorry, I thought there was all.
This could be the critical part.
Okay.
What is it?
Water. Number seven, water well. Make sure you water it.
Taken root?
No. You just water it. Just give a bit of water so it's not completely dry.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then number eight, you can cover it with, say if you're doing it in a pot, you can cover the pot with a lid or plastic bag to get the humidity so it helps it to get that environment so it can...
And it warms it up a bit, it's like a baby. You've got to keep it comfortable.
Yeah. And then,
keep it happy.
9 and 10 is basically watch and look out for new growth, which I sort of skipped that part. But, just keep watching it. And then, you have a new plant.
Oh, wonderful, Selena.
And just to add...
I've learned something today.
How's that different from seed saving? Well, it does take less time because you've got a new plant right there. But the new plant will be an exact copy of its parent plant.
True.
So unlike the seeds, which are different, because they're a mixture of reproduction, this is like cloning.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's getting really sciencey and technical there.
Yeah.
But not really. It's quite simple, isn't it? You've made it.
Yeah.
So
if you're
doing
some pruning, don't forget to take cuttings. Yeah.
I won't. And that's really useful because, thanks for that.
Okay.
You think you know everything and then Selena fills you in. Great.
All right, people. Well, happy gardening. Make sure you're, reproducing with your plants.
I'm not going to comment now. It's the end of a week. We're tired. Right. So, okay. Cool, guys. Enjoy your week. Get out there. Weather's getting cool now.
Yeah.
Interesting. Windy Sundays, rainy Sundays, hot Sundays. It's exciting. I love autumn.
Happy gardening.
Enjoy. Bye.
Bye.
To everything turn, there is a season turn.